invites you for the next half hour to join us for interviews, discussion, inspiration, and for strategies to help you fulfill your potential, both in life and in business. Welcome to Remarkable Woman Radio. I'm Mandy Beverly, and I'm here with my special guest today is Julie Shacklady from Milford Asset Management. Now, thank you so much for joining me today, Julie.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Julie, you are a premier client manager at Milford Asset Management. Mm-hmm. Get the name right. Mm-hmm. And how did you get started doing this?
Sure. Well, I didn't start off in finance. I took the long road.
Yeah.
I first of all was a travel agent and then was a personal assistant. And at the time, I was living in London, working at Barclays Bank. And I'd been in the role for 12 months. And my manager at the time said to me, I think you might get bored soon. Why don't you have a look at some other roles that we have elsewhere in the bank? And at that point, with no tertiary education, I didn't really think I stood much of a chance. But on his recommendation, I started to speak to other people that were working in the bank and reading the Financial Times. And long story short, 3 months later, I was working in the bank.
Only 3 months later.
3 months later, a lot faster than what he had in mind. So,
and he's like, damn, yeah. I've just lost one of my best people.
That's right, yeah.
That's fantastic. And going from there into asset management, how was that jump for you? Or was it just a natural progression?
No, it was quite steep. Like a steep learning curve to start with. At the time, there wasn't a great deal of training available, so I really was scrambling a lot for the first 6 months and wondered if it was a decision I was comfortable with. But yeah, once you start to get the hang of things, you become comfortable, become second nature, and then you just, your passion and, you know, thirst for knowledge, you know, continues to grow. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I was able to move on and move with Barclays from London to Dubai, where I did the role in Dubai. And
so
then,
you lived there for a couple of years?
Yes, I was there for 2 years working with Barclays.
Uh-huh.
And then found myself back in New Zealand working also in finance.
Wow, so welcome back to New Zealand. So
thank you.
You've been here for a couple of years now?
Yes, I've been back for 2.5 years now.
And how have you found the transition coming back?
Good, actually. Better than I thought it would be. After 11 years away, I wondered if perhaps I wouldn't fit in anymore, and it hasn't been like that at all. You can't beat the lifestyle.
It's an amazing lifestyle, and actually the more you travel overseas, the more you realise how simple things are back here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, because we're talking about finance and we're talking about Milford Asset Management as well, mm-hmm. What makes them such a good company?
I think Milford's a fantastic company. I mean, the vision of the founder, Brian Gaynor, really does cascade down through everybody in the company. We're a boutique investment manager. We're not one of the biggest, and we're certainly not trying to be. It's a staff-owned company, so the staff are shareholders.
I love that. That's such a great feature.
Yeah. It really aligns our, you know, goals and values with that of the clients as well. And with that, we also invest in our own funds as well. So we've got skin in the game.
Got skin in the game.
Yeah.
Well, that is so important, actually, isn't it?
That's
because
right.
It's easy to risk with other people's money, but when it's your own, it's like, you know,
absolutely,
you've got to make it work.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you juggle so much in the day. I can imagine that it's actually quite a busy environment that you work in. So how do you cope with it all?
It can be hard. The phone can be ringing. You've got a client arriving for a meeting. You might have internal meetings. Things are running over. Things can really start to pile up. And you can, it's just human nature to get frazzled in those moments. And it's important, I think, to just prioritise. Quite often there really only is one or two things that are super important or time sensitive, and everything else can be handled later on that day or the next day. It's just in that moment everything feels like it's equally important and everything must be done in that moment.
So how do you do that? How do you go, okay, what's most important now? Or do you write things down? What sort of strategy do you...
I write down everything that needs to be done, and then, you know, put a tick next to it if it's most important, and then work my way down the list. And quite often, once you start, it doesn't seem as overwhelming as it does when you're just looking at it in your inbox.
Yeah, or it's running around in your head and suddenly it's just overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's right.
Overwhelming. Yeah, that's for sure. Mm. We were just talking a little bit before we got started about, you know, what makes a good investor?
Sure. I think a good investor is somebody, well, I was going to say somebody who's engaged, but that's actually not even necessarily true, because you don't need engagement if you're using the likes of Milford, a fund manager, who will do all the research and due diligence and investing for you.
Because that's quite involved, isn't it, doing all the research and that, rather than, because you don't want to take unnecessary risks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and at Milford, our investment team is 23 men and women, so you've got that many eyes on your investments day in, day out, doing the research, going to the AGMs, looking at the reports, everything, doing the investments for you, so that you don't have to. So, what makes a good investor? Well, it's hard to say. Some people do very well out of things such as Bitcoin.
Mm.
But, you know, diversification is always a key rule, which is the more eggs you have and the more baskets, the more buffered you are to any wobbles along the way.
And that's just normal life, isn't it, having a few ups and downs. So do you want customers and clients to take a bit more of a long-term approach when they're investing, or is there a bit more flexibility with what you do?
For this type of investing, we would say ideally 3-year minimum. Now, that's not to say that you can't invest for shorter, but for investing for 3 years, that gives enough time to ride out any wobbles or volatility along the way. As with anything, the longer you do it, the better the results often are.
Yeah, I think that's, but for all of us that like instant gratification these days, actually having that staying power and putting it away with a fund manager is actually a really good way of doing it, because with all the accounts online now, it's too easy to touch things.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah.
So locking it away is actually quite.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's actually not locked away. You can have your money back within 3 days, but perhaps the signing of the withdrawal form and the sending it to us might delay people. At least you can't do that while you're out at the shops.
So you're helping people manage on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Now, are there different levels to funds? There are different levels of investment. And what would you recommend people starting with? But I mean, obviously it'll be a conversation that you'd have with them privately, but where would be a great place to start?
Sure. Well, for specific advice, you would always need to speak to a financial advisor. But it really comes down to the comfort level of the individual, how long they're investing for. So at Milford, we have 10 funds that our clients can invest into, and that ranges from the very conservative funds that have more term deposits and bonds, which are much less risky. We have 10 funds at Milford, ranging from very conservative up to the more aggressive growth funds. And there really is something for everybody. The conservative funds have a mixture of term deposits and bonds and much more conservative assets inside them, whereas the growth funds have a lot more shares in them as well, which can be a bit more volatile, but quite often with risk, more risk comes more reward. There's always a risk-reward.
Yeah, risk-reward ratio.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So probably quite a good way is having a balance between both, you know, between conservative, balanced and growth. Would you, I guess it would depend on someone's circumstances when they come to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It really does come down to the comfort level of the individual. We have people in their 90s who have all their money in a growth fund, and we have people in their 20s who put their money into a conservative fund. It really comes down to the individual, and if you're in a fund that makes you feel uncomfortable and there's too much risk associated with it and you're going to lose sleep at night, then that's not the right fund for you. We can always take our clients through that and help them decide which is going to be the best one for them.
Brilliant. So you sort of tailor-make everyone's decisions with them.
We can do. That is one service we have at Milford, where we give personalised advice based on the information that you've provided us and your time horizon and risk profile. We can do that. Yes.
That's great. So you guys sound like you offer a really great service.
Yeah, that's right. And not everybody wants advice tailored to them. Some people are very happy to make the decisions themselves based on the information that they get from us or that they can see online, and that's fine too. We have something for everybody.
Mm, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. So you're settling into New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
and you've said that you like a little bit of fishing, I hear.
I do like a little bit of fishing. I am a fair weather fisherwoman, though, so I haven't actually been out for a few months. But I do really enjoy it. It was one of the things that I missed living in the Middle East and in London as well, just going off the wharf quite often. I go at Birkenhead, off Birkenhead Wharf.
Oh, really? You're just off the wharf into the harbour?
Yeah, I managed to catch two blue cod there once, actually. So
it keeps you going back for more.
Yeah, it does. But I probably won't be back again until the summer.
No, it's been a bit too cold and rainy lately. Mm. Yeah, I've got a nephew that's getting into spear fishing, and loves it, but I... Yeah, that seems scary to me.
Yeah, that's another level of fishing.
For sure. And so what else should people know about investing? Because now I've got you here in the studio, we can ask you lots of sort of things. So what would you love people to know about investing their money?
Sure. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about investing. People, when they think of stock markets, think of crash. You know, global financial crisis, dot-com bubble, you know, and a number of Kiwis have been burnt, not so much recently, but in the past with their investments. So there is a little bit of fear associated with investing. And so I think that the misconceptions are, A, that it's risky, that the fees can be really high, and that your money is locked in as well. Now, as we've said earlier, your money's not locked in. You can actually access your money and have that back to you within 3 business days. It can be risky if you put your funds or your money into something which is a high-growth fund or a high-risk fund. Diversification is key. And the fees, actually, for the returns that you can get are quite reasonable.
Correct.
I would be more than happy to discuss that with anybody who's interested in learning a bit more about it.
So they can get hold of you later on, and we'll put links, obviously, and get your email address and everything for later, or the website. A little diversion. I love when we were speaking before that you have said that you've often found determination can get you just as far as a tertiary education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I just really love that. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Mm. Well, first of all, you do need a degree for some careers,
yes,
such as doctors.
Of course, absolutely. Absolutely. We're just talking in a general sense here.
And I have found that along the way, to be honest. I started university. I was doing a psychology degree, and I dropped out, for want of a better word, after 6 months. And it took me a while to find what it was that I wanted to do.
And you're not alone there. I think there's a lot of people that do that. You know?
Yeah,
because you think, this is where I want to go and what I want to do, and you get there and you go, I don't want to be here.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And you will come across some very smart people. I do all the time. Some extremely clever, intelligent people coming up. You know, the younger generation are coming out of university, and they're just so smart. And that's fantastic. However, I also believe that with the right work ethic and with determination and motivation, you can get just as far, because these days there's a lot of learning on the job. You can do your qualifications while you're working, and I think the good work ethic and being a good team member can actually go really far.
There's a great quote. It's a Thomas Jefferson quote that I saw one day, and it says, "Everything yields to diligence." And I thought, I like that. I thought that was really good.
So I think people shouldn't be put off by not having qualifications in some industries and some careers, because if they can just get a foot in the door and they can actually show their employers what they're capable of and work really hard and just have the right work ethic, then they'll be able to get quite far.
We're getting not only financial advice, also career advice, and I think that's really true now, is don't let anyone hold you back from what you want to do. Find a way somehow.
Yeah.
Now, we're just going to take a short break now for music, and we've got Maroon 5, Girls Like You, which is a song that I'm now become obsessed with. So we'll be right back.
Spent 24 hours, I need more hours with you.
making things right between us. But now it's all good, babe. Roll out that wood, babe. And let me close. 'Cause girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like you. Yeah, yeah, girls like you love fun and yeah, me. Maybe I'm barely alive. Maybe you're taking my shit for the last time. Yeah. Maybe I know that I'm drunk. Maybe I know you're the one. Maybe I'm thinking it's better if you drive.
Not too long ago, I was dancing for dollars. No, it's really real if I let you be my mama. You don't want a girl like me, I'm too crazy. But every other girl you meet is too gazy. I'm sure them other girls were nice enough, but you need someone to spice it up. So who you gonna call? Cardi, Cardi. Come and rev it up like a Harley, Harley. Why is the best food always forbidden? I'm coming to you now doing 20 over the limit. The red light, stop. I don't play when it comes to my heart, let's get it though. I don't really want a white horse in a carriage. I'm thinking more of white horses and carriage. I need you right here, 'cause every time you fall, I play with this kitty like you play with your guitar.
Welcome back to Remarkable Woman Radio, and don't we just love a bit of Maroon 5 in the afternoon? I'm totally obsessed by that song now. So we are here with Julie Shacklady from Milford Asset Management, and we're learning a lot about, you know, just about investing and looking at money. And I think that's actually a really important thing that we do, particularly as women, is to actually really look at money and what can we do to grow it. So one thing that I love is compound interest. And I know Einstein said something along the lines of it's the eighth wonder of the world. But what can you tell us about compound interest?
Mm-hmm. And that's a very good saying. Warren Buffett also said, my wealth has come from a combination of living in America, lucky genes, and compound interest. So we know if Warren Buffett is a fan of it, then it must work.
And I know that he had read every book in the library by the time he's 11 about investing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
he was
right.
Obviously born to do what he wanted to do. But
And still going strong.
So compound interest is really, can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure. So once you've invested your initial principal, then any interest that gains or that it earns, if you don't pay that out, so if you keep reinvesting it back in, then you've actually got interest going on top of your principal. So then any interest earned on that is then on the amount of your principal and of the interest, and it keeps building on top of itself. I hope that that comes across clear. So it's really a way of supercharging your savings because it's building on top of its interest, building on top of interest.
So money's earning money.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm. That's really cool. So compound interest is something that you will get if you allow a bit of time. Long-term investment strategy as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Over time, it'll keep going on top of itself. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. It's just such a, you know, we might as well, we know about air points and we know about all of these other things that can get us something, but this compound interest is a magic formula in a way.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not magic as such, but, you know, it is something that can actually reap a lot of rewards for people long term.
Yeah, so that's right.
Now, you were mentioning to me before the show that you are looking at perhaps doing a women's investing event. Are you allowed to talk about that, or is that something that you're just thinking about at the moment, or...
Sure.
Well, would you like to give a bit of ear to it now?
It's in the early stages of planning, but my female colleagues and I at Milford will be hosting a women's investing event later on this year. We don't know which month exactly at this stage. And basically it's aimed at our existing women clients and any that might be interested in investing, and just a kind of comfortable place for women to come to learn a little bit about the basics of investing from women that work in the industry, and just somewhere where they can ask a few questions, have a glass of wine, and just get a bit of information, because it can be really overwhelming. It's easy for me to sit here and say that it's not complicated, but it's what I do day in, day out. But for other people, I understand that it can be quite complicated. So just somewhere for women to come and ask a few questions and just start to become engaged, really. I know it's becoming quite important for women to become financially independent.
Yes.
We've got independence in every other area of our life, and I think now we're starting to see that we need to be financially independent and at least have some knowledge as well.
And I think that knowledge is really important, isn't it? Because sometimes you can put things aside and go, oh, well, I will get to that, and I will get to that. But actually sitting down and in that environment will be actually really good, just to sort of talk about what options are there for people, because often we're looking just at what the banks have. We don't look further afield, but actually there's a lot of options out there for people.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, that's great. So you're just making sure that this is a really nice, easy, relaxed way to educate women about investing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Well, you must let us know when you're going to be running that.
I will.
Make sure that we either get you back to talk about it and highlight the dates for you as well.
Absolutely.
Love to do that.
Yeah,
I think it's really important.
Thank you.
Now, what is some of the best advice you've received, or maybe that you wish you'd given yourself at any point in life?
My mum gives me a lot of... my mum is usually the person who gives me the most advice. And if she's listening, she'll think to herself that I never actually take it. But I do. I do often.
You heard it here first. She listens to you.
You know, I don't have any quotes or anything like that, but at the end of the day, it's your life. You really just have to go with your gut on anything and everything. If it doesn't feel right to you, don't do it. If it doesn't sit well with you, and if it doesn't align with your values, don't do it. At the end of the day, you just have to live your life in the way that you want to, and always go with your gut.
So if you've got to talk yourself into it or convince yourself, or, yeah, it's just, if you've got to go against your gut, it's definitely not the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do have to push through nerves and a little bit of hesitation, but if it's not sitting well with you, then maybe that's a sign.
That's great advice. Mm. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as listening to yourself, as you just said. If it's not sitting well, then don't do it.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
But making sure that you're not taking yourself out by not trying as well. So that's when you're going to really listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, living around the world and coming back to New Zealand, I mean, what's great about New Zealand for you? What have you found really great to come back to?
It's the lifestyle, isn't it, really? I mean, you've got mountains for skiing, you've got beaches, all, you know, so close. We've got really good bars and restaurants now, which we didn't have when I left in 2004. It didn't feel like there was a great deal of selection in terms of bars and restaurants. Clothes were quite expensive and certainly quite far behind the times. And so I've come back now, and then there's just, it actually feels quite international. There's a lot of people that have immigrated here. Yeah. And we've got fantastic food, fantastic bars and restaurants, cafes. So there's a real vibe here now. And so it doesn't actually feel like it's on the edge of the world anymore.
That's great. It's good to know, isn't it? And because coming from London and Dubai, those are pretty full-on places to live as well. Because I know we used to live in Hong Kong, and it was just all go all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really lucky here that we do have a bit of hustle and bustle in the downtown area in Auckland now and in other cities, but it's easy to escape it on the weekends.
We're very lucky. Mm. Yeah. That's amazing. Now, I love to ask this question a lot of the times. When you're expanding and going out of your comfort zone, okay, how do you cope and what did you learn as a result? And it could be when you're moving overseas or anything like that, because sometimes that's a big move.
For the big moves, and my mum always tells me this, nothing is forever. If it doesn't work, you just come home. You don't have to stay somewhere if you're not happy there. So by all means, try anything that you want to, but don't be scared to, because you can always go back home or go back to the way things were beforehand. So, yeah, giving everything a try.
Or turn around and make another decision.
I've made a few of those.
But it's actually really good advice, because sometimes we get ourselves so stuck with what we're doing that we just go, well, actually, what if I did this instead? Or, yeah, I always think that there's a power of questions that we can ask ourselves to sort of open up our minds.
And I think what's more admirable, a life spent doing the same thing day in, day out for 50, 60 years, career-wise, for example, or a life spent trialing new things, and they might not all work, but I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way and met a lot of people and really pushed yourself, so you're probably better off for it if you try a few things that don't work out.
Just give it a go.
Yeah.
Don't be scared to fail. Don't be scared to change.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, I ask all my guests that are coming on the show about this question, and they all cringe a little bit, but because this is a Remarkable Woman Radio, what is most remarkable about you and what you do? Because I often ask this, because if we don't value who we are, then no one else does. So what is remarkable about you, Julie?
In a work sense?
It can be in any part of your life. Just who you are as a person, because you take yourself to work, so.
I think it's my ability to be put into any situation and to always be okay. I could be dropped in Dubai, for example, where I moved and I didn't know a soul when I moved there. Travelling solo around the world, meeting people. I just feel quite comfortable in any situation. I feel comfortable talking to children. I feel comfortable talking to older people. I feel like I can relate to a lot of people. And I guess that's something I'm quite proud of.
That's great. That's remarkable. So, Julie, how do people find you?
Sure. Well, they can go on our website, which is www.milfordasset.com, which has got a lot of information on our funds and what we do and blogs with interesting articles. So people can go on there and contact us via the website. Alternatively, our office is in Auckland. You can come on in. We're on Shortland Street, level 17 of the AIG building.
That's great. So they can get hold of you there. And so lots of information to read up if they want to, or else contact you directly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, excellent. Everything is online.
Yeah.
But for any further questions, once you've read some of the information that we have, that might create a few more questions. So by all means, give us a call or email.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me here on Remarkable Woman Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for teaching us all about investment. We've loved having you on here.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye.
You
have been listening to Remarkable Woman Radio. You can catch us again next Tuesday at 3:15 on 104.6 FM or anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/remarkablewoman. We'll see you then.